Hey everyone, welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, John Wayne, your good old buddy, your pal, your neighbor, your brother, from no other mother that ever could be. It's me. I'm here, back again for another round of telling a story from my life, from my wacky, wild, La Vida Loca, if you will, if I will, and I do say so myself. You know, I feel, since I listened to Menudo when it first came out, not the soup, but the band, and, Ricky Martin was in that band, I feel like I can live with La Vida Loca as well, and not be a glommer on, you know, to the phrase, because I don't think it's been popular in like 20 years or something. But that's how my life is, and that's how these stories are, friend. They all come back around, and they all become relevant once again. Or not, I don't know. I'm excited today. This is an exciting week for me. I've got a lot going on. Now, when you hear this this one, if you're listening to it on the day it comes out or the week it comes out, all of this exciting stuff I'm about to do this week will be over. But let me just tell you about it now. And I just know that you're hearing about me talk about it when I've already experienced it. But I haven't experienced it yet as I'm talking about it now. That's fucking meta. I don't know where this is going. I'm also just to let you know, I'm back here in the Library of Evil. That's where I record the podcast. You're here in my home, Wayne Manor, the Library of Malum. It's nice. I've got some incense going. I've got a couple skeleton candles lit, and of course, got my trusty pipe filled with grandpa's medicine and a little Austin beer here that I'm drinking, and I'm feeling good. First of all, like I announced on the podcast last week, my new book from Rooster Republic Press, called John Wayne Lied to You, The Mostly True Accounts of the Adventures of a Modern Day Hero, named for this podcast, or this podcast was named after it. I don't know. It's a chicken or egg thing, and I'm not even sure which comes first, but they're both here now. That story collection is available now, so please go right on out to your Amazon page on your computer and order it, please. You could also find it at johnwayneisdead.com or roosterrepublicpress.com, and Amazon, that's the best way. But one thing that I'm excited about that has to do with the book is that all of these stories, first of all, to say, if you didn't know already, I've talked about it before, but I don't want to assume anything. All of the stories that come from this book come from Grown Up Storytime here in Houston, which is a monthly show put on by Boo-Town. I've been writing for them for over 4 years, and I was able to put together this collection. Rooster Republic put it out for me, and I'm very happy with it. I love Grown Up Storytime. Something very, very important to me and very near and dear to my heart. So if you live in Houston and you haven't checked that out, please go. It's second Tuesday of every month at Rudyard's, which is in Montrose. Rudyard's is a great, great, great bar. I've played there many times with all sorts of my bands, which will actually come into play a little bit in our story today. But it's one of those great bars, and Grown Up Storytime is one of those great events that you just have to go to. You submit a story, somebody else performs it. It's pretty rad. And it's always a good time. But tomorrow at Grown Up Storytime, I will be releasing the book. I'll have it there for sale. So hopefully you came out and you got one from me if you're listening to this when it comes out. If not, you know, hey, order it. That's fine. But so I'm excited for that. I'm getting ready for that. And then at the end of the week, I get on a jet plane and fly up to Virginia to go to Scares That Care, the convention up there, and I'm really excited about that. I've never been to this convention before. Excuse me, before. And I'll be hanging out with the Grindhouse peeps up there, C.V. Hunt, Anderson Prunty, and I believe Justin Grimble is going to be up there with us, and Scott Cole, and I don't know who else. Anyway, I'm very excited about it, and I'm sure I'm gonna have a great time, and I will relate back to you all exactly how it all went down when I get back. So Very cool other thing going on right now. So it's going to be a great week, and I'm excited to have you guys joining me again for another story. Thank you so much. I know I just mentioned my book, John Wayne is John Wayne Lied to You, sorry, is out now, but I also have some other books out as well. Chargeland, Ant Poster, and The Porn Star Retirement Plan, all available. You can all find them on my Amazon page or at johnwayneisdead.com. All that good stuff. Plus, you can check out when my band, John Wayne is Dead, is playing. It's all on our website as well, johnwayneisdead.com. And any other performances or readings that I have coming up are also located there as well. Now, and while we're talking about bands, we kind of get into today's story. Now, I've played in bands for 21 years. I definitely doesn't mean I'm very good at it still, but I am doing it, and I have done it. John Wayne is Dead is the band I currently play in right now with Chris Jett, and we do really fun punk rock songs super fast, and it's really cool. But I've been in a bunch of different bands throughout my life. One of the bands I played in was a band called Letters to Voltron. Now, I know what you're thinking. That name rules. And you're right. It does rule. Letters to Voltron was a band that went through many changes, many changes, many incarnations, many sound differences. So much so that some would argue that we might have, should have, probably changed the name of the band at some point and just become something different because it was completely different. But I wasn't into that necessarily, and I don't think the other guys were that were in it with me at the time. I think we liked the idea of Letters to Voltron always being this thing that kind of changed all the time, and you never knew what you were going to get with us, but you definitely knew the core of what we were doing was still always going to be there, which was stupidity, basically. No, dick and fart joke humor, some would call it. We called it, or as our friend Mr. Brad said, high concept, low quality. That is one way to put it. I thought we were pretty high quality. But anyway, Letters to Voltron was a band that started with just myself and Mr. Robbie C, my good friend, on acoustic guitars, playing songs. And you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and let's get into the story and let's talk about it before I get too deep. This week's story is called You're the Worst. So, Letters to Voltron was a band I started with originally just myself and my good friend Robbie C. Shouts out Robbie C. in the house. Robbie C. and also had been in a band with me before Letters to Voltron called Taint. Yes, that's right. Not ass, not balls. We called ourselves Taint. And we called ourselves that with straight faces. No, it was a fun band. I mean, we were young and dumb and extra drum. No, we just, you know, it was a band. It was fine. Rock band. After that was over, I had written a handful of just stupid, funny songs on acoustic guitar. For example, one of the first ones was called The Clap Came Back, which was just basically sung to the tune of The Cat Came Back. If you haven't heard it, it's like The Cat Came Back the Very Next Day. Well, we cleverly replaced it with The Clap Came Back. So it was The Clap Came Back the Very Next Day. The Clap Came Back. I thought it was a goner. Anyway, that was what we did. That song is public domain, so we could do that. And then I written just a couple other songs. I wrote a song about working at Starbucks called Grande, about how I hated everybody and, you know, made fun of the customers and my bosses and stuff like that. And it's actually on YouTube. I might put a link up on this. But you can search, it's called Grande. It was just dumb, like just some dumb songs. I think there was like very few of them at the beginning. And I asked Robert to come to play in this band with me, and we did it. And we were just two guys on acoustic guitar, singing together, funny, stupid songs. So think like Tenacious D, but without a, you know, a solid storyline and far, far filthier. Which was the thing at first, is we always wanted to be humorous and tongue-in-cheek. We later went on to write, you know, such songs as Donkey Punch and Tuck and Tape, and one of the songs, a song called I Heart Mother, which we'll get in, which we're getting into today, a little bit later in this story. But just songs like that, they were just dumb. They were funny to us. Some other people thought they were kind of funny, but they were just kind of stupid stuff like that. Sex stuff, shit stuff, you know, your typical, I don't know, idiot humor. But we committed to it. See, we are committing to the bit, which is the most important thing. When you do something, you have to commit to it. If you don't commit to it, no one will buy it because you don't buy it. Anyway, that's for a different podcast. No, we committed to it. We liked it. We had fun. We liked playing these songs. And we started playing some gigs and doing some stuff. And we basically ended up, we put out two albums as that acoustic duo. And then we had a drummer, RIP, named Scott. He didn't die, but, you know, he disappeared. And then we ended up getting The Sauce in there. Shouts out to The Sauce. Sauce is playing in a new band now called Pillbox with Jimmy and John. So check them out. But, you know, Sauce is an awesome, awesome drummer, but a super, supremely awesome musician as well, and very smart about it. So he came in the band later, and when he did come into it. And, you know, we got a little heavier, and we added, like, keyboards at one time. We've done a bunch of shit. But in the beginning, it was just two fresh-faced boys and their acoustic guitars out to change the world. Not really, just to have some fun. But the story today, we had this gig one night, and it was okay. So I live in Houston, and north of Houston, probably about 35 miles north, there's a lot of like suburbs of Houston and small little towns you go through. Like, this is Spring, the Spring area. I know, if you live in the area, of course you know where fucking Spring is, but, you know, some people don't live here, assholes. So you know, so it's 35 miles north, you know, it's like a suburb, it's very suburban. And we were playing a show with our friends in a band called Sugarball Express, who booked a show at this bar and had wanted to have us come open and play. So we were like, yeah, sure. And we went out to the bar, and it turns out it's this very, like, I'll just say shitty bar. It's like a sports bar, and it's just dirty, and it's not well kept. And it just has, like, its regulars that come in, and nobody really cares, that nobody tries too hard, because, you know, then you don't have to feel bad, I guess, about not trying too hard in your own life or something. So think like that. That's the general vibe this place is giving off. And we were playing a show there. Robbie and I had played open mics there before. We'd actually played a few times there at this place. It was always just as bad, but, you know, show's a show, and sometimes you just play, you definitely play a lot of shitty shows if you're trying to play. But, you know, pretty much business as usual as we get there. You know, the usual crowd of barflies hanging out, local, you know, regulars. And then, you know, the people who came to see us and Sugarball play. So it's a little bit of a mixture of, like, what do you say, like oil and water. But as long as you don't drop a match in, everything stays relatively fine. So we got there. Our friends started getting there. We set up. Robert and I were first. All we had were acoustic guitars, like I said, that we ran just into the board. Like, we didn't even have to bring amps or anything. We just played them, just plugged them directly into like a DI box and ran that into the board of the PA, and that was it. Easy peasy, all the way sneezy. See, you thought I was gonna get racist there, but no, not on this podcast, my friends. That's right. Anyway, so we set up. Simple setup. We sound checked. We got it all ready, and then we just are kind of hanging out, bullshitting. Now, one thing I should tell you about this particular night: it is the night before Mother's Day. That's right, Mother's Day Eve. Now, I for one have never really met too many people who seem to hold that night sacred as part of the holiday, maybe like a Christmas Eve, Christmas type thing. You know, apparently people do. I didn't know. Who knew? I didn't, but I found out. So it's Mother's Day Eve, and we're all at the bar. We're hanging out. My brother was there, and he had one of his friends was there, and This friend of my brother's was known to have what we like to call in the industry a MILF. Now, what a MILF is, it's an acronym for Mother I'd Like to Fuck. She was a hot mom. She was a very, very hot mom, and not my brother nor myself nor any of the other people in this young man's life ever missed an opportunity to tell him how hot his mom was and how they would all like to perform consensual intercourse with her everywhere, every which way, and every surface in his bed. It was great. He really enjoyed it. But anyway, he's there. It's Mother's Day Eve, like I say. We get up to start the show. Robert and I are playing. Everything's going as well as it can be expected. And then we get to right before we're about to play a song called I Heart Mother. We got the name of this. It's a play on the Pink Floyd album Atom Heart Mother. Atom, A-T-O-M, Heart Mother. Because, well, basically the song, it's just about, to put it in plain terms, this is a song about fucking your best friend's mom throughout the entirety of your friendship, from when you are young, pubescently, you know, curious boy, through high school, college, and after college. That's right, you're plowing your best friend's mom for decades, basically. And that's a song. That's what the song's about. So before we, you know, we're about to play it, I give it a nice little setup. I dedicate it to this young man whose mother we all want to make love onto. And it's very nice. He, of course, I mean, he loved he loved the fact that I called him out and made that long soliloquy of love to his mom there. He really enjoyed it. And we launch into the song. Starts innocently enough. It's kind of, you know, it kind of buries the lead throughout the first verse. But when you get to the chorus, there's no mistaking, because the chorus is simply the words, I fucked your mom. I fucked your mom. I really feel, it was like, I fucked your mom. Bum, bum, bum. I fucked your mom. I really fucked your mom. I mean, that's the chorus. It just repeats it over and over in a very melodic, sing-songy way that gets stuck in your head. And we're doing it, you know? So we get through the first verse, first chorus, second verse, second chorus. And you remember how I said that my brother's friend, the young man with the hot mom we want to make love on, enjoyed what I had to say about his mom? There was somebody there who did not enjoy what I had to say about this mom or any mom, or apparently The Mom and My Song. We're in the middle of the second chorus, chugging along with I Fucked Your Mom over and over, just like the song says. And I feel this tug on my guitar chord, right? And I thought I just stepped on my chord. Sometimes you're up there playing, you take a step to the side or back, your chord, you know, you can step on your chord and pull it out. I've done it a bunch of times on my guitar. Or pull it out of your pedal or whatever. First, that's what I thought I did. I should also mention at this point that Robert and I are wearing Lone Ranger masks and very small novelty-sized cowboy hats that are tied around our chins so they stay on our heads. You see, we kind of liked to get a little performance-y art-like with it, with Letters to Voltron at that time, and we would just wear kind of weird things, like themey type stuff. Like, we wore bloody hospital scrubs before a few times, bloody lab coats. We dressed up like onesie wrestler things. We did a lot of stuff like that. But this particular night, we went with Lone Ranger masks and baby dick cowboy hats on top of our heads. So, you know, we thought that was cool. So now, as I said, I'm feeling this pull on my guitar cable to my guitar. I think I'm stepping on it. I don't have any peripheral vision because of this mask that's on my face. So then I feel the tug come harder, and it kind of like definitely pulls me back. Like, I kind of like a back, like, what the fuck? Because it pulls out of my guitar, so my guitar stops making sound. And then in like half a second later, the microphone that I'm singing into is knocked out from in front of me off the stage. And the stage, you know, I'm using the term loosely, okay? It's more like a platform. It's like a one step up off the ground, like maybe 8 inches, if that. That may be being generous. It might be 6 inches, very thin. The guy, there's an older gentleman who is now in front of me, who has knocked the microphone out from in front of me with like a flailing arm. The stand and the mic go flying. He's yanked my guitar cord out. I see that he has yanked it out of my guitar, and it's in my face, yelling at me. And he's screaming, "You're the worst! You're the worst! You're the worst!" And I'm like, hold on, I kind of get to process this for a second. And it, when it finally sinks in, like the shock of what just happened is absorbed, I realize, hey, this old man has just yanked my cord out, knocked my mic over, and is now an inch in my face, like away from my face, screaming at me. So I become very angry, enraged even. And in like this one motion with my right hand, I pull the Zorro or Lone Ranger mask off my face. With my left hand, I'm taking my guitar off, and I put it down on the ground, and I'm right in this guy's face, charging at him, which I don't think he expected because he looked very surprised. And he starts walking backwards. I walk him off the platform, and I'm screaming at him, I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck do you think you're doing? You just fucking knocked the thing. What the fuck is wrong? You know, every other word. And I reach back to just grab at him as we're walking backwards through the crowd. And my wife at the time, my wife, jumps in between us and is like, whoa, 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 calm down, calm down. He's an old man. It's an old man. And I'm like, I didn't care. At that moment, I truly saw red. I didn't, and I usually don't see color, but I saw red, and I was, it didn't register to me, like, this is an old man, yeah, it didn't matter, it was like, I was gonna destroy this person in front of me, and I'm not even a fighter, I'm not even like that, but I was so, so offended by this, you know, this assault upon my personal space and property, that I was very, very angry. So she gets in front between us and is like, don't, just calm down. And she's trying to like walk me back. Apparently the bartender did not see what this man did to me first and thought I was just basically about to assault him or something. She comes running out from behind the bar and is like, no, get away from him. He's, you know, and she's in my face yelling. And then I was like, when my wife turned and was like, what are you talking about? Did you not see what's going on? And everyone's like, sets this bartender straight. And then she then loses control of, because now everyone's getting pissed. And it's a crazy thing, like chaos begins to kind of reign as you realize that there's no one that could control really like the sentiment that has been passed around the crowd of people that are there. And it's not like a big crowd or anything, but it's like 25, 30 people maybe that are in a small bar, and this one old man that's now like pissed everyone off through this action. And he could definitely feel it too, because he just basically backed all the way out of the bar, yelling at me as he got to the door, telling me, I'm the worst, you're the worst, you're the worst. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he gets in his car, rolls down the window, still yelling out the window as he's backing up. And you know, this is a bar, like there's just like double glass doors right there, and the parking spots are right in front with a little sidewalk. And one of my friends just like grabs an ashtray off one of the tables, like one of those oversized ashtrays, is full of butts. And he, it's Jay Lee, this is you, dude. Shout out to Jay Lee if he listens. He threw the ashtray out the door at the guy's windshield, hits the windshield with an explosion of ash and butts, like a fucking snowstorm, snow globe or whatever, you know, just everywhere. And that's fluttering, and then as that's coming down and the, you know, the ash is landing, you see just the crack in the guy's windshield just start and go all the way across both sides, like just right down pretty much through the middle of his windshield. So he throws it in reverse and goes, you know, just peels out of the parking lot screaming. I'm pretty livid. I go in and everyone's like, what the fuck? Oh my God. And I'm like, show's over, we're not playing. And then they ended up like telling me like, calm down, let's just play. You know, then it was kind of like I got one of those like, if you don't play, the terrorists win speeches. So, you know, I finished the show, but I'll tell you what, I did feel really weird about the whole thing, because I was like, man, he didn't like what we were saying or how we were saying it or what we were doing. And that's okay. We weren't, what we were doing wasn't for him, clearly. You know, what people create and the way they choose to create it, it's not going to be for everybody. But that's what makes it what it is. And that's what makes it that much more important to who it's for. And that was, I was really struck with that thought. I was like, I cannot believe the reaction that this guy had over this. Which in, on one hand, I was like, well, I guess that you want art to invoke emotion and cause a reaction. Like, that's part of it, right? And it doesn't always have to be good. But this was kind of like a little bit out of control. But, you know, it didn't dissuade me. It just kind of, I don't know, made me kind of think about things a little bit differently. Like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can probably relate to this when you really like, if you're into music, right? So I'm really into music. I'm really into to certain books and authors. Those are probably like the things I get really into. And when I want to talk to somebody about a band, you know, there was a time earlier in, you know, in my life, if I liked that band and you're like, I don't like them, you couldn't stop me from listing off reason after reason why you need to like this band and why they are important and they should be important to you. But this particular instance was kind of like one of those incidences throughout like the next, you know, the last 15 years or 10 years to where I've kind of realigned my view on that kind of stuff, where yeah, I'm still passionate about the things I love,
and I always will be, but I no longer feel the need to try to force or fight or argue the validity of something that I like with somebody who says they don't like it. I just don't. If you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine. You know, I like what I like. You like what you like. And, you know, everything out there is for who it's for. And hopefully those people find it. But when you do find something and you're like, fuck yeah, man, I fucking dig this. Like, that's really cool. That's a good thing. Now, clearly, going back to our story, this old man, that this was not a night like that for him. He did not find something he liked, but hopefully he went home and found something he did. But fast forward to the end of the night, after all this, we've played the show, Sugar Ball Express has played, it's pay time, and we're in the back office with the bartender, who's also, I guess, the manager and whatever, and she's giving us the money, sliding it across the desk, and is in the middle of telling us how it's not as much as we were promised because the bar sales weren't as good. And she said, well, it's Mother's Day tomorrow. Maybe people, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, Mother's Day Eve is always a big stay-at-home holiday. But she quickly changes the subject, I guess, to maybe distract us, which it didn't really work for me. But Chris, Sugarball Chris, was back there with me, and he got a little distracted at this when she kind of just inserted into the conversation how she had just won a pretty titty contest at another bar the week before. Then, without prompting, she pulls down her tank top, like down to her stomach, to like let her tits out. And I'll tell you something, I'm definitely a appreciator of breasts, and I can get behind some things like that, you know, when it's consensual and voluntary. Yes, all women, but if these are the, and everyone is beautiful in their own way, but if these are the tits that won the pretty titty contest, it meant one of two things: God was dead, or it was not a big drop off in quality. Had to have been. I'm not sure. And that, you know what? But that also made me realize, you know, much like art, it's a matter of perception. It's a very subjective matter. Those titties just weren't for me. But somebody out there thought those titties were for them. So much so that they awarded them a pretty titty award, prize. They won it. And I went home that night thinking of all these lessons, these things, these kind of ideas that have presented themselves to me, and I'm trying to make sense of it. And, it made me realize something. Art is what it is, and it is not for everyone. Also, sometimes in this life, you're going to have experiences that not even tits can make better. The worst. All right, that was the worst. Yeah, that sucked. Yeah, I've had some, you know, different experiences on stage with interaction that was unsolicited from audience members. Another time that Robert and I were playing, we had a piece of pizza thrown at us, and it hit me right in the chest, like below my neck, and slowly slid down the front of my shirt and to land on the top of my guitar. As I finished the song and just kind of like brushed it off and was like, okay guys, thanks a lot, here's another one. You know, I was just being a pouty McPowder when I should have just confronted them. But, you know, live and learn. So anyway, like I said, I think I might attach some links to this episode of some of those Letters to Voltron songs that I mentioned to try to give you some perspective, or you can hear the I Heart Mother song and see, did he really have reason to be that mad at us? I don't know. You make the choice. But once again, thank you guys so much for listening another week. Please, you know, you can subscribe on iTunes, and it's also on YouTube every week at John Wayne is Dead. Make sure you go to johnwayneisdead.com for everything that I do, all the readings that I have scheduled, all of the band show gigs with John Wayne is Dead are on there. There's also links to buy books, and there's some really cool videos that I've done with some friends to make to promote the books and things. I should check all that stuff out, please. And please be sure you pick up my new collection, John Wayne Lied to You: The Mostly True Accounts of the Adventures of a Modern Day Hero, from Rooster Republic Press. Go to Amazon. If you didn't make it to the Bootown show, if you don't live in Houston, pick it up. It's good. I guarantee it. And you know what? If it's not for you, which it might not be, give it a try. It's not. You know what? You just go to Amazon and you go to those reviews and you tell people it wasn't for you. But also, if you want to rate, like, review the books that you buy, not just for me, but for any of your authors that you like and read, it helps them immensely, I can tell you that. So please be sure to review the books that you read, and that helps out very much. What also helps out is you listening to the show, and thank you again for joining us another week. I will be back next week to relay my adventures at Scares That Care and everything else that's happened in that time with another story for you guys. So thanks again. JohnWayneIsDead.com for everything. And, you know, bye.